Welcome back to Ride or Dice, an actual play podcast where we play Savage Worlds. I'm your host, Andrew Mena. To my right, as always, Tari J. Miller.
Hey guys, I'm Tari J. Miller. I play Hinta, the Possessor.
Hello, I am Connor Fitzgerald, and I play Scritch, the Cat.
Hey guys, it's me, Lewis, and I will be playing Ractor, the Space Cyber Ninja Prince.
I love that Lewis and Ractor both just are, you know, no, for one name only, like a share situation.
Yeah.
It's great.
Oh, yeah.
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 You don't need a second name.
It's
so
young,
welcome back.
If anyone's keeping track at home, young.
Really young. I wanna be. All right. No, that was the perfect amount of time. Any more and we have to pay for the rights. Welcome back to the show, you guys. When we last left off, our team had just talked to Naria, Ractor's sister, and gotten the second of three, as far as we're assuming, of parts of this map that showed up not too long ago. And now you guys are on your way to Barak.
Wait.
Babrik, sorry, not Barak. Though that would be a great name for a planet.
I miss Barak.
Me too. Let's go visit Barak.
The best planet.
You know what?
Yeah. I've always been the best planet.
Hello there. I like your ship. I've been a big fan of your ship.
Oh, let me be clear.
Perfect. So we're on our way to Babrik, to the Great Space Race, the 13th annual Great Space Race, to meet up with Gamron, a quasi-relative of yours, Ractor. On our way over there, is there anything that you guys are doing? Or are you guys heading straight on over to Babrik in order to enter yourselves in the race?
I mean,
should we juice up the ship?
Ooh, yeah, like stop by a place and get it outfitted with like speed racer stuff?
Well, like, you know, tune up the engine.
Oh,
I mean, I guess racing stripes is fine, too.
I mean, we did just get a new engine.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Right.
That's what we, yeah.
Wow. But like, yeah, we should probably get some Nas in there.
Yeah.
And then
space Nas.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
What else? Some coaxium. That's what they used in Star Wars, right?
Put a cool spoiler on the back.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hydraulics.
Do we have fuzzy dice in the cockpit already?
I feel like you've said that you do.
I think so.
Yeah. That sounds like a picture.
Yeah, you're constantly knocking at them when...
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
That's supposed to be flying.
We had to take them away from you once because you kept getting distracted.
Asteroid!
We're taking these. I'm just going to put them in my cabin, Scritch. We're not mad. We're just disappointed.
Oh, that's the worst. That's worse than being mad. we get, yeah, so we just need spoilers, racing stripe, a big number 7 on the side, Nas.
Let me ask you this. Are you entering the race as the cruise control? And do you think that that would make you more visible to your dad, Ractor? Or are you trying to...
When they broadcasted my name, did they broadcast the ship as well?
I don't think they did not broadcast the ship. I don't think it's common knowledge, but you know that your dad knows. And because he at least was able to tell...
Jets knew what it was.
That said, one of the things that you guys know as you're getting closer to the space race that I'll say, we come in and you guys are like in the like lounge of the ship, sort of like watching maybe some sort of like...
Old clips.
Yeah, maybe clips or something of like the 12th annual space race. And so what you guys know... unequivocally is that there are sponsors of the space race. So Ractor, I think maybe you even like, maybe your dad has like a skybox at this thing. Maybe he doesn't always go, but it's the sort of thing like a Kentucky Derby or something where like, it's just a status symbol. He probably goes there from time to time. He definitely has a ship in this race. You think that maybe Gamron is that ship. But that said, there are a lot of companies that have, you know, horses in this race sort of situation. So here are a couple that you guys see from years past that are big names. You see that Gamron was in the year prior working for Zenova Corp, representing Zenova Corp in the Aether Spark.
Ooh.
A pilot named Jirai, a Boolean, he is working for K Enterprises, and he's flying the Anten 7. Danny Dent is working for Macro Yeah and is riding the Road Soda. Zomba from Heifong Incorporated is flying the Cracker Jack. And finally, someone familiar, Scritch, as you watch these clips probably for the first time, you recognize this tall Warwick kind of waving. Looks like he got third place last year. It's Gorix, the guy who found you after you came through the wormhole. Gorix the Warwick. He's working for Stonesmith Enterprises, and He's flying the Void Ray.
Holy shit. I know that guy. Wait, would I have not known this before? Is this like the first time he's been in it?
Yeah, this is definitely the first time, besides you just mentioning him, like, finding you. Like, I think this is the first time you've seen him since he dropped you off, or, like, you know, kind of set you up for success sort of thing.
Oh, wow.
Who is he?
Small Universe. He was, like, my... he found me after I came out in space, so he's, like, my dad? Is that how family works?
Sure.
I'm not sure.
That's not how
I feel like there's a metaphor
on
there.
My planet,
but... Well, what if, like... Because if space is, like, the universe's... I don't want to get into this.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
He taught me how to...
He is like your adopted father.
Yeah.
Got it.
Taught me how to fly ships.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is he going to be sad when we beat him?
I mean, he'd be disappointed if I didn't try. So, I think he'll respect us for having completely destroyed him. We're going to get first.
I'm sure he'll be proud. It seems like a dad would be proud if his son won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See?
Understood.
And she's a psych major, so she knows what she's talking about. Or is she just like liberal arts?
I've taken some classes.
Okay, cool.
That you majored in pranks?
No, I majored in pranks.
I'm not quite as good as a prank smith as Scritch is.
Understood.
Yeah. This Raptor. Is so exciting. We're gonna have so many family reunions.
Which brings me to my question. Raptor, should we, if your father is going to be at this race, confront him while the race is happening?
Oof.
That's heavy, man. We could do that. I don't know what we're going to gain from it, is the thing. I don't think I'm going to convince him to stop and give it up.
Have you hugged him recently?
That's true.
No,
hugs are magical.
They are magical.
Like 30 years, man.
Oh, dude, this could be the time.
That's true. Yeah. Maybe you have severe hug repression.
How old are you? 30 years? You look great.
No, wait, I said this on a previous episode. I forget what I said.
He was being hyperbolic.
Oh,
he looks good for his age, I'll say that.
Yeah, he really does.
I think he was like 29 or something. So okay. 30 years.
And he looks really good.
Yeah.
Yes.
He could be 22. It's a really gruff 22-year-old.
Well, my skin isn't real, so helps me be sneakier, blend in with the light.
That's fair.
Understood. So, I feel like perhaps we could convince your father to stop pursuing us if we talk to him.
Do you?
I do not know. I have never met his father, so I do not have sufficient data to analyze if we can convince him.
He's certainly not a man that's terribly easily to convince, I'll say that much.
I mean, I can get in there. I don't know if I can get out of there, and I don't think I can convince him.
Question. I just want to put the card on the table. What level are we... When does the line crossed where you're... Do we need to kill your dad? Is that a thing that might happen?
I mean,
I'm not saying we need to do it.
It might happen if we go in there.
Throw this on the table, y'all. I'd be remiss if I didn't simply mention it. But since you wounded my compatriots, one of them, the Ravello brothers, I can't be sure that they aren't still on the lookout for y'all and possibly me as well. Putting that out there, we may have to cross that bridge together, so to speak.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Understood.
Then we could burn the bridge afterwards.
Well,
the ultimate bridge crossing technique. Holding on to the friends and then burn it.
Indeed.
Yeah. So if we need to kill your dad, we can do that.
I mean, do we need to kill your dad? We discussed it last time. Yesterday.
Look,
it's a weird way to refer to yesterday, but sure.
Well, we can kill my dad if we want to kill my dad. It's not a big deal, but... You know, I'm saying that's a big commitment of time and resources. If we're going to kill my dad, he's going to have a lot of security. And if one of us is flying in this race, which I'm starting to think, do we need to enter the race? Or are we just doing this out of pride at
this
point?
It's pride.
Yes, I figured Scritch would definitely enter out of a sense of need and curiosity. His level of excitement was very high when it was mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah, he needs this.
I do need this.
To self-actualize.
This is my personal character arc.
Understood.
Maybe I won't want to jump into a hole in space if I've like felt validated through my paladin skills by my dad. Oh my gosh. This is what it's all built up to. It's amazing.
Do you have a dad, Henta?
That's not really how my species works.
Oh.
You guys come out of
the
ground?
We also don't have genders, so.
Oh, apparent?
Yeah.
Apparently not.
I mean, dad doesn't need to have a gender. You can still be a dad.
Yeah.
Did you ever have anyone play catch with you?
I've had people try to catch me. Does not that count?
Not the same.
I mean, that's my relationship with my dad, so.
Same here.
Yeah.
Got it. Then yes, I have multiple dads.
Oh, good.
Cool, man.
That's very progressive.
Yeah, awesome. Good. Look at you go.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I just want to establish what our end game is with this race. I want to know if we are trying to get in contact with Gamron, capture your father, or just win for the sake of pride, and then see what happens afterwards.
I kind
of
like that last one a lot. But I think their main objective should be getting Gamron, right?
Yeah, what if we put a tracker on his ship during the race or something?
I mean, I'd be willing to try.
Or something. I feel like we're going to have to capture him. I don't think he's going to be as...
cooperative?
Yeah.
So maybe we should sabotage his ship and then, in the chaos, take him.
Yeah, but then that would distract us from the race, wouldn't it?
We can do both.
I mean...
I guess if you flew by really fast and then I just jumped out of the ship and boarded that way.
Yes!
Seems really dangerous, but...
That is really dangerous.
I mean, I could do it, it just seems dangerous.
It's very dangerous. You guys know that this is a race, right? These ships are gonna be going as fast as is physically possible.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Alright.
Hey, is this the kind of race where, like... Is this like a Mario Kart kind of thing? Can we use weapons in this race, or is it strictly,
I think it's frowned upon, but I think if you can do it underneath the nose, you know, if you can be a little sly about it.
Can you... For the sake of me, the person, and I guess also me, the character, describe how this race works. Is it like in space? Is it on? It's on this planet. Is it like?
Yeah, I'll say we kind of like zoom into the like little screen that you guys are watching with the clips and stuff, and it's like.
Oh, boom, 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 hits the TV.
That's right, the beautiful, picturesque Ravana Galaxy. Many of the ships will first round the Scythe planet, then the Syracuse, and then round Mace, and after that, the Pinnacle, Vision, and Badger, and then on to the Lifebringer, and finally, they'll finish off at Ark Royale, where the finish line is, and that is where the afterparty is held.
How long does this race take, on average?
I don't know how fast.
Is this like a days-long race around the world, or is it for going around a galaxy?
It kind of like...
The record for this race is 4 hours.
We can beat that.
Yeah, we can beat that.
Maybe.
We don't have to beat a record, though. We have to beat a person.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Oh.
If you want to be boring
okay,
about it.
So, I have been watching a lot of Scritch's movies. And here's what I think we should do. In a lot of 1980s movies, they will typically, especially when a race is involved, make the stakes the thing that they want. Typically, it is a lady, which I think is frowned upon now. But now, let's talk to Gamron and say if we win the race, he gives us what we want.
And then if he wins, he gets Ractor.
Yes.
Oh, man, guys.
Oh, man. No, wait!
I mean, I don't know if we can bargain a human being. Again, back when in the 1980s,
right.
It was always for the heart of a lady, which I think is bad.
Right, but now we're doing it for the heart of the lovely Ractor.
Yes, but I think bargaining humans is bad.
But that's what he wants. That's what he would want. What else would he want?
What if we bargain the information that we have?
Do you think that would work?
Two parts of the map.
We could.
I mean, I guess.
Then if he fails, we get his part of the map. Alternately, hear me out here. I sneak in before the race starts. I put a virus or something on his ship that will disable it in flight. While the race begins, we match speed with him, shut off the engines so that momentum is carrying him. I jump from our ship to his ship, get my way inside, take out his security, subdue him... override the virus and just take the ship somewhere safe.
Okay, Frank Ocean, I feel it's like maybe one too many steps for a plan, but if you want to do it, I'm down to try. Oh my gosh.
Also,
wait, do I know who Frank Ocean is? I don't actually think I did.
The original movie
was from the 70s, right?
Yeah, or like the 50s or something.
Yeah.
And they definitely showed it to this cat.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if Scritch would actually know that.
Cats know a lot about know what?
Brooke was a huge Rat Pack fan.
There we go. So that's how I know it.
Scritch is constantly humming Sinatra tunes.
I feel like that is cheating.
Yeah. Big time.
But if it is in the movies, the only people who would cheat were the bad guys.
We like killed like three people yesterday. I think we are kind of bad guys. We're medium guys. We're medium guys.
It's for the best interests of the galaxy.
See, that makes us, we get our hands dirty. We're like Batman. You want to be Superman.
Not to be the stickler, but if we were trying to do what's best for the galaxy, we would have destroyed the information when we got it.
Okay, well.
Okay, you're making a good point.
We can do that later. Okay? Later. We can talk about what's best for the galaxy after we beat up my cousin and download the info in his head.
Sabotage the race and cheat on a television scale.
I'm
also, who are you to speak for the galaxy, huh?
I mean,
that's what I thought.
I am the most sophisticated being in our vicinity. So.
Are you?
Yes.
You shit out churros.
Yes. Can you do that?
No.
Exactly.
That's not sophisticated.
Thank you.
To eat one's own poop.
I'm not eating it. He's
feeding it to others and taking a perverse joy in it. Sorry, they are feeding it to others.
And yeah. Technically. It's not poop in that it is not, it's recycling. It's not waste.
I say we cheat. I say we sabotage. I like the Frank Ocean plan.
But it's going to make us the bad guys.
We're the medium guys.
What about your arc? What about your character arc in
character
this
arcs.
80s movie?
Fuck it. I'll be two-dimensional. It's okay.
Henta, if it makes you uncomfortable, I mean, I have no dog in this race, really, and it doesn't sound like they're planning on using me. You want to just watch the dang thing with me?
Do they let dogs in this race?
No. Cool.
There was another movie Scritch showed us. It was Robin Hood. Leading man Kevin Costner, and Robin Hood was a space pirate who would occasionally turn to untoward means for the greater good.
Understood. So you're saying it's a more of a utilitarian approach in that we are doing unsavory things in order to get a higher value response.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what about your character arc?
I don't need the...
What about
he can
your 80s
still,
style character arc?
He can
arc?
Still win the race.
And I can still talk to my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I just... I'm a story pure.
Hey, listen, or because we're just living our lives, I could just continue to be a two-dimensional weed cat.
No.
Just no. All right, yeah. Well, I'll have a good character arc. We'll not force anything, but we'll see what happens. You know? All right, let's do it. Let's get these racing stripes on. Come on.
Okay. I think the scene shifts. You guys are on your way to get the ship outfitted, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the plan.
And our team
And
name,
I think we should probably go under a fake name if we're doing this plan.
The Danger Brigade.
Control Cruise.
Get out. Get out.
I will see you later.
Henta leaves the room.
Danger Brigade. The Millennium Star Destroyers. Think about it.
Well, that's our team name. What's our ship name?
The Millennium Star Destroyer?
Okay, sure.
Yeah!
It's your ship.
The Millennium Star Destroyer is what we're deciding on?
I have to change my Snapchat username. Otherwise, they're going to know it's me.
To Cyborg Prince 420.
69.
Yeah. All right, cool. All right, there we got that settled.
You guys go to Bolgar, the Saurian, and your old pal. And he goes,
welcome back, my friends. What can I do for you?
We need to haul ass.
And we're all out of ass.
Well, that sounds like a plan. Do you have anything specific in mind, or just soup it on up?
Well, I was thinking we could get, like, two racing stripes down the middle. If you could put a big number 7 on the left side.
He's like crossing his arms and like stroking his chin, like nodding.
Yeah, spoil on the back. Might not be enough time for a full paint job, but if you can quickly make this whole thing red, that would be sweet. And then what else do we need?
Better engine boosting.
Oh, right. We also need NOS or better engine boosting.
We need sub-ether that can work inside of an atmosphere.
We can also I don't actually know if this is true or not, but Scritch believes it could be. We can probably also feather the ether drive and just kind of do like quick little bursts. Like,
yeah, I mean. Right.
This is just a suggestion, but if we want to skip the whole part where I sneak in and upload a virus to the ship while it's in its hangar, maybe we could outfit it with like an EMP cannon or something. Is that
EMP
a thing?
EMP cannon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very fancy.
Something that'll not completely destroy a ship, but just shut down the engines.
He flips over like a little clipboard and he's like, all right, now let me see if I have this. EMP cannon. Okay. You're looking to make it fast?
Make it
all red, racing stripes.
Red is ancillary. Don't forget the spoiler and the big number 7.
Also, if you could fix the coffee machine in the galley.
That would be great, too. I don't even drink it. It just sounds, the noise it makes is really, really
rough.
It has
a good
too.
Smell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he just kind of nods and he goes, all right, my boys, with our discount as always, I think 10,000 credits and I will right on the way.
Woo!
Okay, how much do we all have?
Yeah, well, we have 4,000 in the ship fund.
Can you itemize that?
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
Okay, I have 2,000 personally.
And I have 1,500 personally.
I have 1,245.
Here is my question. Calculator.
How much is that without all the frilly
excuse your tone.
Things?
Oh, you mean without the paint and stuff?
Yes. For Let's just see. The functional assets.
He kind of like does a little math there for a second. He goes, 6,000 credits.
Oh, that's way more doable.
Wow, that's really expensive paint.
Well, you need a rush job in an entire vehicle.
I mean, it makes sense.
All right. I can do it in a day, but damn if it won't take up my entire day.
Bulgar, just not to put you out, but I do need this. How much is the racing stripe alone?
For you, my friend. I do racing stripe for just 500 cred.
Oh, man. Okay.
6,500 and you have it all.
Fuck all that other stuff.
Okay.
Well, it's not a bad idea to not be flying with a ship that's identical to the one we have now, but with a racing stripe added. Maybe we need... What if we added the spoiler? Can you add a spoiler?
Yeah, spoiler is on the list.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Okay, cool.
How about this? I like to haggle, so...
Okay.
He kind of crosses his arms and smiles, and he's like, okay, hit me.
Here is my deal. How much can we get off?
It sounds like a question.
If we use... It is. I'm proposing a deal. If we essentially have you as a sponsor... We put some kind of identifying mark as you being the one to sponsor the winning ship, and then potentially you get a portion of the prize money.
You watch as his eyes light up a little bit as he strokes his chin and like imagines this. Make a roll here. What do you think this is?
Persuasion?
Yeah, I guess it would be persuasion.
Can I assist him on that? Is there something I can do?
Yeah, how would you do that? Just by looking cute and being like, come on, buddy, we like work for you all the time.
So, yeah.
Or, like, we pay you all the time.
Kind of remind him that we're all friends here and this benefits all
kind
of us.
A business relationship?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Go ahead and make me a persuasion roll. And if you get...
let's see. There's no assist in the index. There's no help in the index.
It's fine. I'll just...
I'll just
do
it up.
Yeah. We'll see how this works out.
It's just gonna be it's
unless
you, buddy.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, you got a 5.
Yeah, it's a 5.
Are you trained in persuasion, though?
Yeah.
It's -2 if you're not trained.
All right, I got a 3.
Okay.
Oh boy.
And he scratches his chin, and I think I'm gonna give you a +2 on this one because it's such a good idea, and this guy already is. It's not a big operation. You know. So this kind of like exposure is a big deal. That's like. Offering, you know, a mom and pop shop, a NASCAR sort of situation. Like it's a lot of exposure. So I think Bulgar is gonna. He looks at you and he like smiles and he says, "Okay, 7,000 creds even, right now, and I will sponsor you and give you a brain job on the cheap. We'll be done by the end of the day.
That's not bad."
It's not bad. Do we have enough to cover that?
I can with the ship fund that we have as a group and my money. That's 5,500 right there.
I can throw in 2,000. We're probably going to get prize money when we win this race.
Right. Yes. When we win. We'd like to clarify.
It like flashes back to you guys watching that video and it's like, grand prize of 2 million creds.
There are 2 million credits that I keep forgetting is the prize money.
We can't afford not to win this race.
No, we need to put all the money we have
in. Let's just win
this.
The race and retire.
Yeah, why are we doing this?
And you guys definitely on the video saw like Gamron was the winner last year. So you see that the Zenova ship, the Aether Spark, is fucking cool. It's got it's definitely got some like flames on the side. It's like got like it's very sleek. I think it's a 4-engine ship in sort of a box formation at the end of the ship. It is a very fast, very sleek ship.
Well, we're gonna disable that one, so
yeah,
no big.
We are also cheating. Let's not forget.
All right. So do we have enough? So you we have 4,000 plus your
1,500
plus your you said 2,000.
Yeah,
that's more money than he needs.
Okay, that's 7,500. Okay, so you guys have 500 over.
Okay, I'll put the 1,500 in and keep 500.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Well,
you guys tap your wrist on Bulgar's wrist, and he goes, "All right, my friends." He cracks his knuckles. He's like, "Time to get to work." And, like, we have a quick montage of like, you know, him moving in fast motion. Like the camera is stationary as he just like paints the whole fucking ship. And then on the side of it, it's just got in huge letters visible from very far away, like Bulgar's mechanic shop.
Does he have a logo?
I think he does, and it's just like him, like winking.
Yes.
With like a thumbs up, but also in that hand with the thumbs up is a wrench.
Okay, I'd also like to remind everyone here in the audience that I'm still wearing a cowboy outfit.
Yeah,
of course,
yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool,
perfect. So just
keep that in mind, everybody.
Just like little chaps and a rope on him, like a lasso.
Awesome.
There's chaps. A stink in my boot.
You're a little cowboy cat. So yeah, it takes the entirety of the day, but Bulgar, in a matter of hours, is able to turn over this ship. So you guys now have the spoiler. You have a space NOS that you're going to be able to use, as well as an EMP cannon, which was
probably just like attached to the ball turret, maybe. Or
yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. It's basically exactly. It's a third barrel on the turret that is able to shoot a different sort of ammunition, essentially. And he gets you all outfitted, and he kind of like slaps the side of the hull as he looks at you guys, and he goes, "Now this baby is going to get all of us real famous, huh, boys?"
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Cool. Yes.
All right. Well, hands in for team. And he like puts his hand in.
Yeah.
Oh. And then 1, 2, team. And then you guys all like do a little like team sort of thing. And then I think the scene shifts. I think that is kind of the end of the scene with Bulgar. And you guys are on your way to Babrek proper, correct? Or do you have any other business you wanted to do? Or do you want to talk about what you did while you had the day off on this planet?
I have a question. Sure. Are there laser swords in this galaxy universe, in this world?
I think so.
I think that I might need that to cut into the hull of the ship.
Sure.
In the book, it says laser swords are 1,000 cost-wise. Is that true, or is there a special price for that?
I think they're a special price because I don't think that that is a common item.
Yeah.
I don't think most planets have that. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably more like 1,500 here.
Okay. Does anyone want to lend me money for a laser sword?
Yeah, I've got 6 credits.
I've got 667.
I have 1,200. So I can lend you money. I mean, I have a molecular knife. What does that cut through?
So I have a molecular sword. Would I know if that's something that can cut through the hull of a ship?
You don't. I mean, you think it could. You think that it would require like a lot of force and a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
It would basically be like using a hatchet to try to open a door.
Would it be possible to buy like just like a laser knife, something that will do the job here, but isn't going to be as useful in combat, maybe?
I mean, what if you got something from Bulgar? Because he
probably would have a tool like that.
Do you have any breacher things, Bulgar? Anything for breaching a hole, you know, for like a person?
He goes, are you buying or borrowing?
Depending on the price.
And he brings over 2 little things. He brings over this big backpack sort of like apparatus. And he goes, well, this is what I used for much of my beginning career. And he kind of like shows you. He like puts the backpack on and he kind of like turns some knobs on the straps, and it has this sort of attachment hose that at the end of it, like sparks start to fly out, and he starts it, and it's just kind of like as he kind of like blows plasma in a line sort of thing. So you think you could use one of those. And then the other thing he has is he has this sort of like it looks like a large box thing, and he just kind of like opens it. It kind of expands almost like a it's hard to describe.
Newton's what is that thing?
Yeah, yeah. One of those like balls that is small, and then as you pull it, it gets larger, sort of thing. You know what I'm talking about? So it's a square version of that. And then he kind of like takes that and he goes, "Hold on." And he like walks over to a piece of sheet metal that's just kind of like hanging out in the corner of his shop, and he puts it on the side of the sheet metal, and then he turns some knobs to kind of tighten it, and then he presses a thing, and he walks away from it, and you just hear. And it's like all of a sudden, the border where that. Square is touching the metal turns red hot, and then he like has some gloves on suddenly and reaches forward to grab the edges of the square thing as it just like the big metal square falls onto the floor. So he goes, "This is faster, but this is my baby. It's very expensive."
How much for each?
He's like, "I can let you borrow first one for 100 cred, and then the other one I can let you borrow for I'm going to have to say 500, just, you know, in case it gets hurt or whatever. It's very expensive.
So it's
going to
be significantly faster, right?
Pretty fast, yeah.
Okay, I'll spot the 500 cred for the
All right, make sure you bring it back in one piece.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he packs it back down, and it just like it's very small, and it has a little handle on it. Mm-hmm. It's maybe the size of like it's just slightly smaller than a briefcase.
Cool.
Thank you for your assistance.
Yeah, thank you, Bolgar.
My friends, I'm always happy to help.
You're the biggest homie.
Oh. Well, now kind of you work for me, no?
Yeah.
I just kidding.
This guy.
Get out of here.
This guy, okay.
Okay. I see you later, boys. I watch for you in disguise.
Yeah, well, do
on
it.
The TV. Disguise with necklaces.
We'll be the Millennium Star Destroyer for this race.
Okay. And he kind of like puts his finger against his nose like, I get it.
Tell your friends.
Oh, I get it. Oh, yes. We will be cheering, my friends.
Good.
Are you guys going to straight... Okay. Talk me through it really quick. Are you entering the race? Yes.
Right? Yes.
And then the plan from there is to run up alongside...
Dameron's.
Yeah, the Aether Spark. Yeah. And then EMP it.
Yeah, match speeds, EMP it. I jump off while we're at matched speed, so it should be relative, you know, essentially stationary.
Mm-hmm.
And then, breach from there, and then get on. Actually, one last thing. Is there, like, a stun weapon? Like, I assume I have a laser pistol. I can't, like, set that to stun, can I?
Yes, you can.
Oh, okay, cool.
Oh, cool.
All right.
We've just never done it.
I was going to say, always. you guys can always decide that you don't want to be lethal in your.
Okay.
Can I kill this guy extra hard?
Can I do it like in Metal Gear Solid 2 where Raiden like turns his sword blue and then it's just a stunning sword?
Yeah, I love that.
Yes.
Okay. So after you guys take off from Bolgar's hangar, you guys head towards Babrik where the space race is being held. As you land on Babrik, Babrik is a very Earthian sort of planet. It is a majorly human settlement. There's a lot of commerce. It's very typical capitalistic sort of society where there's a lot of like ads and business and sort of shops and malls. And it is a very well sort of connected place where there are a lot of resources. It seems like there is a fair amount of like people that live here as well as that visit here and sort of use this as like a vacation destination. So this is the time of year when the whole galaxy pretty much comes out to Babrik. So as you guys are getting closer to the planet, you start to come onto like a lot of traffic, which is not like necessarily a thing that happens in space and time.
Mm.
But you guys get close and you see just millions upon millions of fans in smaller sort of little cargo vessels and little personal ships, just all kind of making their way planet side to kind of the start line, essentially. So you guys make your way there as well. As you do, it is a beautiful day down on Babrik as you guys break through the atmosphere. It seems like the San Diego of planets. It's just really nice. It's just all sunny and great.
A lot of good burrito stands.
A lot of good burritos on this planet, absolutely. Oh, well, they're very close to a Mexico planet, so that's why.
they have those?
Mexico planet?
Oh, sure.
They've got
everything. So as you guys get close,
Mexico got tired of being treated like shit, so they took over their own planet.
Good for them.
Yeah.
It's a Mexico planet. They have multiple planets.
Oh, they have a bunch.
Yeah.
There's Tijuana planet. There's Baja.
There's a Rosarito planet.
There's a whole Mexico galaxy, actually, that's somewhere nice.
Have you guys been to the Guadalajara galaxy?
Nice there. Great beaches.
World building.
The Mexico planets. And they're not in the same galaxy either. They're peppered throughout lots of different galaxies. So you guys make your way planet side. The stadium on this planet is enormous. You see, as you guys get close to the docks just outside the stadium itself, there is a dock system for this stadium. It is so enormous. So as you guys make your way down, there are a number of it looks like humanoid people, it seems, in wearing like jetpacks, who are like hanging out sort of around the entrance to the docks, and they kind of like fly up to your ship to be kind of like flush with the front of it. And one of them sort of like taps on their ear to let you know to activate your comm system. And you hear a voice come over, and he's like,
Welcome to Maverick. Are you entering the race here?"
Yes.
All righty. Who is your sponsor? You're gonna need to fill out a series of forms,
and he kind of like doesn't let you answer really, and he just kind of like gives you the spiel really quick, and he goes,
"Go ahead and dock on."
He kind of like looks at the clipboard.
Dock 16, and we'll be right down with the forms.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
And you guys make your way down there. I think it's pretty simple. This dock worker comes over to you, hands you all the forms, and kind of like, he's like, "All right, now you're sponsored, looks like, by Bulgar Enterprises, eh? Okay, all right, a little mechanic shop, that's cool." You guys break it down, and I think he goes, "Now, how many are going to be on your crew?"
"Oh, seven."
"Okay, seven.
Wait, six. One's a computer, never mind, just six."
"That's all right, computer entrance need not be counted."
Wait a minute. What 1, 2, 3, Wilson, and Devin.
Jets.
Oh, Jets, right. Are we going to include your monster? Do we still have your monster on the ship?
It's first his all, son.
Yes.
And second, also, he is a disaster.
I'm just putting this out there. It seems like y'all don't need me for this. I do like watching this race, if you guys just...
Jets, if you don't want to be a part of this, I'll miss you, but I mean, understand it.
I'd love to be part of it.
It's at will employment.
I mean...
You're not... I mean, here... I think it's time that we take the grenade off of his head.
Yeah.
Milestone.
I've been hiding it under this hat just while we're around people. But yeah, so... I would like it to not be there.
It's a giant, fucking bucket hat.
No, it's the giant cowboy hat. Oh, yeah. On the cowboy world.
Yeah.
He's just been wearing that. I thought you liked that hat.
Yeah.
I mean, I've grown fond of it, sure.
To be honest, I forgot about the grenade. You've been wearing that hat all the time.
Me too. Yeah. Let's take care of that.
You know, it does look right now that I look at a mirror.
All right.
Well... Since you are also on the run, I think it only necessary that you join our crew. Would you do the honor of being a co-pilot to Scritch?
Well, certainly, if you'd have me. Do you need me up there, my friend?
I would love to have you there.
All right.
I'm arrogant about my own flying abilities.
I'm more than happy to be your number two.
But you can be my number two.
All right.
Huh.
Yeah, someone needs to change his litter box.
Be
able to do it at like 8 Gs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Last time we tried that with Devin, she... had to she go to the hospital.
Yeah, that was messy.
Poor thing.
Dislocated her arm.
Oh, no.
And also, she got covered in poop, so that was bad.
Yeah, it seems like the worst of it, really.
It's not great.
Insult to injury.
Yeah. Mm.
Scritch has a tendency to get distracted.
This is true. Yeah. So.
He also gets really high during, before, and after.
Yes.
I'm high right now.
Basically, you just need to keep him... in check so that he doesn't destroy the ship.
Because who knows what'll happen on this zany race.
That's fair. I suppose I'll do my best.
Also, fun fact, Jets, one of the buttons on the dashboard is an ejector button. I'm not going to tell you which one.
Really?
Yeah.
Well.
We're going to have fun.
I guess I'm going to put my spacesuit on now. And he just like walks out of the room.
Oh, friends. All right.
So.
So four then? Devin probably shouldn't be on the ship. Wilson.
I could also... This is a cool planet, and I have some creds. I was thinking maybe I'd get another bug.
Oh, yeah, you've got hobbies now.
I've got that one bug, and I just, like... Oh, God, I got an itch for more.
Girl, you bug out.
I've got the bug.
Are you finished with the last one?
No.
Anta, it's not for eating. I've told you before, it's a display. If you eat it, it won't be there to be displayed anymore.
It'll live on in my body.
But that's not the way I like it to live on.
It's not the same thing.
Make sense to you?
Understood.
And she kind of like... makes
lock
a little,
your door.
Okay. And she just like goes over to her door and unceremoniously just like locks it while like making eye contact with you, Anta. Bye, guys.
Bye.
I'm gonna see if there's any cool bugs. And she leaves.
Have fun.
Fucking nerd. Okay, let's race.
Do you want to meet up with your adopted father before we start the race?
After.
It'll be fun to surprise him.
Yeah.
Okay.
We also should show our faces as little as possible.
Yeah.
Understood.
Yeah. The reveal will be good.
Understood.
Do we need to do anything else to get in this race, or we just wait now?
You guys have pretty much entered, so you guys are ready to rock and roll. You've entered all the forms, so you think that all you're waiting for now is the beginning of the race. The dock worker that was talking to you before kind of comes over, I think, and he goes, "Here's what to expect. So in a moment, we're all going to load all of you up onto the starting line. Winners from past races are going to be put in an advantageous position, as they are wont to do. Then you guys will be following up the back. The more obscure you are, the further back you'll be, unfortunately. But that's an opportunity for you to make a name for yourself, to literally become the underdogs. That is the opportunity we afford you."
Have you ever heard of Henta the Possessor?
I have not.
Oh, I don't know why I thought that was going to work. I'm sorry, Henta.
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
That hurts.
I'm sorry, honestly, part of me was hoping he would have just known. I'm realizing
what,
now.
What was your end goal?
A little self-esteem boost before the race.
I thought it's going to be a lot better. I'll be honest.
Backfired completely.
No. What's your name?
My name is David.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I thought David would fucking know.
What?
You literally run around telling everybody. I thought maybe.
Oh, is this him?
Yeah.
Oh, pleasure to meet you. I'm David.
Nice to meet you, Henta, the Possessor.
And he like shakes your hand, your tentacle.
Tell everyone at the end of this race that I was the one who won it.
All right. I suppose you're the pilot then. We'll make sure we tell the announcers.
Yep. No. No.
I am the captain of this ship.
No.
And I am responsible for our victory.
No. All right. I'll make a note here that you are the captain.
No.
We'll make sure that the announcers know.
No.
Indeed.
I'm flying this. Is he like, ooh. I picture David just
he
like
starts
walking
to walk
away.
Yeah. Are you going to stop him?
Henta covers your mouth. How does it feel? Tell me, how does it feel?
I'm going to start licking the inside of your tentacle.
And then Henta puts the tentacle against its face and then licks that, your saliva.
Oh, no. Oh. She just curls up into a little ball and lays down the floor. Wait, how many races are in this race?
It looks like... From the kind of large group gathered behind you guys, it looks like there's probably maybe 4 or 5 dozen. There's a lot of people. The ones that you heard of before, there's maybe only 5 or 6, including some of the ones that you saw on previous years. But you also see a lot. Like, I think this is kind of like if you guys ever watched American Ninja Warrior or just Ninja Warrior Sasuke, you maybe definitely saw people that would turn up and then lose immediately, but do it for multiple years. I think there are a couple of those, like a crowd favorite, like the octopus ship. And it's just like a ship that's like shaped like an octopus. And it's like really fun looking. And it's got like a bunch of just like metallic arms that do kind of like wigglies in space.
Offensive.
It feels appropriated. Okay. So, yeah, but I think that there are novelties that you recognize that you're not necessarily worried about, as well as those high-class ships that you know anyone who's won before has definitely put a lot of that money into their ship. So,
okay.
So that said, there's going to be some strong contenders.
All right, let's fucking do it. Go.
All right.
All right. So David comes over, and he goes...
All right, everyone, it's time for places. Let me get you into position.
And he kind of like has these two little like light up sort of rods similar to like at the airport sort of thing. And he ushers you into position. You guys are really near the back. You're not the final position, but you're very, very far back. And he guides you over and you watch as sort of the like maybe 5 dozen ships or so all kind of like hover there and start to sort of float into position like You can see like the spike the ships are creating kind of from the top position that is the starting line all the way back to basically planet side where you guys are kind of closer to. And you guys watch as in front there are these enormous projected screens kind of on the clouds. Basically, a sort of makeshift starting line sort of thing projected in front of you all. And over the loudspeakers, and I think maybe even in the comms in your ships as well, you hear an announcer come on. And the announcer goes,
"All right, everyone, I'm David, dock worker and announcer. I have a lot of hats. Now, let's get this race underway, the 13th annual Great Space Race hosted by Babrick, as always. Now, thank you for joining us in today's events. Good luck to all racers involved. And here we go."
And then you see him like floating there in the space, sort of like shoot off a flare, and it lights up the kind of clouds with red. And as it does, just all around you, just all of these engines sort of like burst to life and just like explosions, small explosions all around you as ships just start to jet forward. And you guys do as well. Scritch, go ahead and make me a piloting roll to just get in a good position here.
Yeah, I got an 8.
All right. So, Scritch, you just kind of like pull back on the throttle and kind of like, you know, roll the cat joint into the other side of your mouth.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Poof, explode forward. Jet's kind of like has to kind of grab white knuckle to like the edges of the seat for like a split second as the acceleration is just a lot. Just feeling the G's for a moment. And as you guys break atmosphere, just the world falls away. You float through those clouds. And you see just the long stretch of all of these ships. You can see way out in front is the Aether Spark, Gamron's ship. And so you guys start to make your way there. Scritch, you're gaining, but slowly. It looks like a lot of these ships at the forefront have like just massive engines or more engines. You noticed the Aether Spark is a 4-engine thing. So that said, you guys are going to make one more roll for me, a piloting roll to try to like get up next to him.
10.
So... With effort, I think you sort of like what you do is you like sort of pull back on the throttle and use like some of these ships to kind of slingshot yourself around. And after like maybe 15 or 20 minutes of just like working hard, just like an LA traffic like freeway driver, just like changing lanes like a fucking madman. There's no signal on your ship, or people would be honking. But you. You get up next to Gamron, and you're keeping a pace, though it is difficult for your ship. You're kind of, like, firing on all cylinders. This is the moment, you think, Ractor, to fire at the ship if you're going to.
Okay.
You are out in front, though, at this moment, so you guys are basically neck and neck for first. Mm-hmm. So if you fire right now, do you think that this EMP is visible, or do you think it is an invisible shot?
I think it must be visible, right? Like a big, probably blue charge.
Right.
I was hoping that there would be a moment like when we wouldn't be visible, at least to audiences.
Mm-hmm.
Like if there's a part where we're flying through a nebula or something like that.
Okay.
Or like
yeah, you're trying to find a time when you guys are in the blind spot of this of this large thing.
Okay.
We'll probably be seen by a couple racers or something, but like as long as it's not the whole galaxy watching and seeing this happen.
We flash back then, I think, to you guys kind of planning this out. And I think you watch the Space Race map overview and you point down to this like asteroid field and you're like, right here, this will fuck up comms. I think if there are cameras on us, that's where they're going to be the least effective. So I think that's probably the smartest spot. Is that where you go with? Or
yeah, I think that's what we're going to wait for then.
Okay. So you guys are just struggling to keep a pace with the Aether Spark as it just like charges forward. And you guys are coming up on this asteroid belt. It is going to definitely take a piloting role to sort of maneuver around and just keep a pace with this guy. Give it to me one more time. There,
I feel so useful today. This is awesome.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. So that is 14.
Okay. Scritch, you see this these obstacles as an opportunity, and as soon as you enter the asteroid field, you're like not only like going around and using them to just slingshot yourself all over the place, but you're flying through them. You are like strategically being like, "Ractor, fire!" And he like shoots one apart that you're able to like fly through, and you guys are just like masterfully like you get a little out in front of the Aether Spark now. I think you're able to sort of maneuver that, and now I think if you're going to take your shot there, Ractor, this is the perfect opportunity.
Okay. So first, I'd like to say while we were flying before the asteroid field, I used the power boost lower trait to try and juice my shooting a bit.
Yeah, we absolutely watched Ractor just get juiced up.
With psionic energy.
Yeah, his nipples are real hard.
Okay. You snaky boy.
Well, I'm going to spend a Benny because somehow I got snake eyes, which is the worst thing to happen with psionics. Okay, so that's a 5, so that will work. So that will boost my shooting to a D12.
Okay.
Then I'm going to... God, I did not want to use a Benny out the gate. then I'm going to take a shot.
All right.
So that's a 9. Success with a raise.
So you line up the turret, and you fire this new EMP cannon that you have yet to fire, and a blue pulse flies out of the end of the third cannon that is now situated in your three cannon little turret there, and it flies out, and it like almost like a net opens up around the ether spark, and suddenly the ether spark there like kind of like it slows a little and shakes. You can kind of like see the like vibration of it as it sort of like struggles to keep the pace it was going at. And Ractor, go ahead and roll me a d6.
Okay.
This is a fortune roll.
6.
All right. So, Ractor, let me ask you this, because I have an idea about what happens, but like I'd like to know what you guys are thinking. So, do you think that damaging the ship would be better or worse?
It depends how, I guess.
If like it ran into some of these asteroids that it is now unable to avoid.
No, I feel like if anything, we want it undamaged so I can like kind of take it somewhere safe.
Okay, perfect.
I've subdued him.
All right, with that fortune roll then, you watch as like, I think maybe Henta or Jet, I think Jets maybe is just white knuckled like, oh dear lord, that is going to collide with all these asteroids. You've taken his driving away. And he's just like all worried that like you're about to just destroy this like high profile person in front of everyone in the world. But like with just the luck of you guys, you watch as this ship like floats through like a donut shaped like asteroid, and it just like a big one just sort of like just,
it was like,
just clears it, and you hear like a
when a plane comes like, together,
scratches it just scratches the hull ever so slightly, and just you hear like a as it like scratches along the surface of a rocky asteroid. But this thing is dead in the water for the moment, and you watch as I think ships just fly by either side. They think that maybe it hit an asteroid or something, and now it's slowing down. But they're using this opportunity as a way to get ahead. So you guys fall behind a little in this moment, but this ship is dead in the water, at least for now.
Can we say that the ball turret has kind of like an emergency ejector thing? Like I could just hit a button
like a
and
hatch.
Launch out from it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, then I think that what this is like, Ractor's, like, little helmet kind of over his face.
Okay.
And, like, I think his suit has been, like, painted a bright red to match the ship.
Sure.
Just to look, you know, super badass right now. And he just hits the thing and he launches. Hopefully we're, like, at, you know, relative speed with this ship.
Yeah.
Or at least close to
it. Yeah, and this one's slowed down just a bit, so you're going to be able, it's a little bit more maneuverable once you get out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You also have thrusters on your, you know, on your suit.
Yeah, so
you're
presumably.
Kinda, like, yeah.
I have at least a bit of a jetpack movement here.
Yeah, exactly. So you float over. I think, what do you think this roll is to make sure that you touch down on it?
It's probably just raw agility, right?
Okay, yeah. Ractor floats out into the vacuum of space, reaching an arm out for the ship.
Okay, that's a 10.
All right. And just with like the perfect sort of angle, you touch down on the ether spark on the hull of it. And I think maybe your boots are even have like a slight magnetism and they just kind of like shoop, just lock on. And now you are there. You're about to pull out this this thing and open up a hole for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like kind of flick it open. And,
okay.
Probably want to place it on kind of a more central area of the ship, fully expecting it to depressurize. And I don't know, would we have known like what his crew size was? Is that like public information? Could we just like look that up on the...
I don't think you would know.
Okay.
I think that would probably be information... for them. I think in the past you see that he usually runs with a pretty small crew.
Okay.
Like I think in years past you watch him like accepting trophies like either alone or with one or two people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Then
like
I'm just
a mechanic.
Hopefully depressurize like, you know, the center of the ship and maybe suck a couple guys out, you know?
Okay. Yeah. So yeah.
And
you think just like the top of the
not
ship?
Bad, guys.
Just the top middle?
Yeah.
Or something?
Like the top middle.
Okay. Yeah. So Ractor, you put that in position. I think just go ahead and make me a fortune roll just to see how this feels.
That's a 2.
Okay. You put this big thing on there. You tighten it up. You press the button that starts the thing. And are you going to like pull it off so you have it, or are you just going to let it fall through?
I'm not going to endanger myself
for sure,
I will try and keep it
for
Olgar's sake.
I think it's not necessarily designed to do this to ships that are, you know, in space. But that said, You watch as this thing just kind of like lights up the red ring right around the square. And I think it's probably about like a 10-foot by 10-foot square that you've gotten it to. After a moment, you just hear... Maybe you don't hear that because it's space. Mm-hmm. But like you know that that's what it would sound like. Yeah. Maybe your imagination
in the anime, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, in the anime, that's what it sounds like. So this square piece of ship just flies off in the distance, maybe embedding itself in a nearby asteroid. And out is sucked a bunch of debris, including you watch one guy just fly by.
Wilhelm scream.
You watch and you make eye contact really quickly with one of the two Ravello brothers. And you watch as just his like... His eyes get wide and angry and furious as he just like reaches for you, just kind of like swimming in the space, unable to stop his now deadly descent. So
not a bad guess.
Then he gets hit by a ship.
just caught in the turbines.
Yeah, he just goes through the turbines. You know what? Make me a fortune roll. That's too fucking funny.
One.
He goes through the turbine.
And then the ship explodes and crashes. And it's horrific.
Oh no, it's the octopus ship, you guys. And now the octopus ship has crashed into an asteroid.
Good. Oh no.
Oh man.
Take that, you racist motherfuckers.
The guy piloting it is an octopus.
I'm just trying to represent tentacle people everywhere.
All of us cephalopods.
We are not a monolith.
There's no winning for that guy. It's no winning.
After a moment, you think that the entirety of whatever is going to be sucked out into space has been sucked out. This is a depressurized room now. You think that maybe doors are closed sort of thing, so it may take you a moment to navigate your way to the next room. But that said, you are now ready to move on.
Okay, yeah, I swing in with my pistol drawn.
Whoops. You hit the ground and you see that this is sort of a central, like, it looks like a central lounge area. You can see ahead of you a long hallway, like metal sort of grate work sort of landing. And it leads all the way to the front where you can see the cockpit. And there's a door as well that it looks like it's closed with a very small, maybe like 2 foot long, maybe 6 inch tall window in the door for you to look through. And for him to look through at you if he wanted to.
So when the power on a ship goes out, would a door like this like remain kind of like magnetically locked?
I think so. I think it's a failsafe, like a safety precaution.
I still have the breacher cube,
you
right?
You certainly do.
Oh, I'm going to breach cube the hell out of that.
Yeah.
Sword in one hand, breacher cube in the other. And just
okay. Whoosh. And you just run on over. Do you look through the window at all? Try to like place where he is?
Yeah, I'll look through the window.
Okay.
Yeah.
Make a look or...
Notice.
Notice, thank you. Mm-hmm. A looks roll.
A looks roll. That's a 3 and a 1.
Okay. You look into the room and you expect to see like him like frantically dealing with the fact that there's like a depressurization in his ship or the fact that his ship now has no power or something. And you look through this door and you cannot see him.
Okay. So I'm going to use my deflection power or try to activate it.
Okay. Which is just like an aura, essentially.
Yeah, like basically like a blue kind of glassy sheen surrounds me. Actually, a purple glassy sheen.
Ooh.
Okay, so that's a 9, so I activate the deflection, so everyone's going to have minus... Actually, that's a success with a raise, so everyone's going to have -4 on shooting and fighting rolls against me.
Damn, all right.
Wow.
And then I'm just going to wait for the breach to happen.
Okay. You stand there and you step back as this the machine does its work and starts to cut its way through this huge door. And after a second, the big piece flies by you. I think you're narrowly able to sort of sidestep it. And the large sort of square machine falls over onto the ground now, sort of like the pressurization is sort of like evening out here. And you watch as I think standing there like gun drawn, you see Gamron. And he like makes eye contact with you and sees who you are. And I think he like hesitates for a second and he says... Give me a reason not to.
We need to talk. It's bigger than a race. It's bigger than my dad's ego.
I'm listening.
The ley line. You know about it?
Of course I do.
What do you think he intends to do with that information?
Whatever earns him the most cred.
You think that's a right way to do things?
He kind of like sneers at you a little and he says, It's our way of doing things. Used to be your way, Soren.
Not anymore. We can do this the easy way or the hard way. That's a bad line. Shit. Damn it. I didn't practice this, Cameron.
He smiles and he says, I was hoping you'd say that. And he, like, reaches the gun back and he just goes to, like, knock you with it.
Okay. Do I get to... I guess it's probably initiative order now, right?
I think so.
Okay. What's his... I have a 3.
5.
Okay.
So he looks over at you and he just tries to swing down. Okay.
My parry is 7 and he has minus 4.
Yep. It's going to be a -1 as he just like swings wide. You know what I mean? Like it's the zero grav now suddenly and he swings and just misses and just like you watch sparks sort of like fly up from the butt as he like connects with the wall next to you.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm just going to swing the blade at him, I guess.
Okay.
15.
Shit.
All right. Successful.
So I think that means I get plus d6 to the damage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And are you swinging lethally or non-lethal?
I think it's in the non-lethal mode right now.
Yeah, yeah. So stun baton sort of
thing. Like shocking and absolutely. Like kind of blunted artificially or something. I don't know. Use your imagination, guys.
Come on, guys.
I don't have any of that.
Okay. Oh, nice. All right. So that's 8 plus 7. That's when 15. It matters.
22.
Plus 22. 26. It's 26 plus 2, so 28 points of damage.
Dameron explodes.
Okay, so here's what happens.
Edge of my seat. I am at the edge of my seat.
You know what? We haven't had this opportunity yet, but Rakdor is a goddamn ninja.
Well, yeah, but that's your...
absolutely is.
It's your damn specialty.
Yeah, it is. You murder people as soon as they show you can.
Every moment you stab people good in the murderer. Neck.
So here's what I think happens, because that's a lot of damage.
He's paralyzed from the neck down. He's like, you're still alive.
This guy, he like reaches forward with the butt of his gun, misses you, hits the wall next to you. You kind of dodge to the side, and you swing up this this stun baton blade, and you knock him in the side of the head. And it looks like, and it doesn't hit his head, of course, because he's wearing a helmet. But of course, that helmet has now been hit so hard that you watch as just spider silk cracks just start to form all over it, like an egg that's just about to break. And he just looks at you with his wide eyes, like. Is this how it goes?
I gave you a choice.
I guess so. And he levels the gun at you, and he's going to take a shot now. So that's a 3.
Okay.
Which I don't think hits your parry.
Nope.
Yep. He's just desperately swinging at you. Or no, that was a shot. So he just takes a shot, and I think it just, it just hits the ground. Mm-hmm. You're right. It deflects. So he takes a shot at you, and I think it just deflects and just flies off. I think it even hits him in the shoulder. Like, ah, fuck!
I think at this point, so his suit is just rupturing?
It looks like it. It looks like you maybe have a very short amount of time to either get him on your ship, if that's what you want, or to find another
I assume the ship has already blasted off to try and win the race. Is that reasonable to assume?
Were you planning on picking Rakdor back up, or were you planning on going on the race and just moving on?
I had been waiting here.
Oh, I mean, I originally planned to just take this ship and commandeer it after. I assume that EMP will wear off after a couple
after
minutes.
After time, yeah.
That case, if that was a pre-established, assuming we had that conversation already, then we
blasted on
the second that he got over there.
So in that case, you might want to either find a different suit if you can on this ship, mm-hmm. or kind of leave him to his fate.
Are there escape pods?
Yeah, you think so?
Okay.
Alternatively, you could just try to take this moment to hack his brain and then get the information before he dies.
Or does the information stay if he's dead?
Could be.
I think it probably stays, and if it doesn't, then like it's you get what you want anyway, right? But any case, I'm going to try and say like we need to get you to an escape pod. Your suit, you know,
and
just
he kind
sort of
like
offer him that olive branch.
Begrudgingly looks at you, and he's like, "Why would you help me?
There's no reason for you to die here. You're still family."
And he looks at you, and I think he like. Puts his gun down, like, in his holster, and he's like, all right, let's go. There's one up here on the left. And he, like, points down this long hallway.
Okay.
And I think at this point, there's stuff floating around. It's 0G, but I think there's no other real danger other than, I think, well, make me a fortune roll. You're still floating.
Yeah, one of the
you're
Rovello
still floating.
Brothers.
Yeah, that's true.
6.
Okay. You don't run into any obstacles on the way, though I think the ship shudders and jumps a bit as it scrapes along some of these asteroids it's still not able to avoid. Mm-hmm. But you guys kind of like bang around a little bit and you get to an escape pod. As you get there, I think Gamron's like, all right, what's the plan here? Are we just going to leave my ship?
Yeah.
Well, shit.
All right, look, you stay in here. Is the inside of the escape pod like oxygenized, like pressurized? Like would he be safe in there?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just leave him in there then. And
you
then
just kind of kick him into the pod.
God, wait, no, I don't want to do that because then he can escape.
In the escape pod.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? No, we just blast out of the pod.
Okay.
I don't know how these things work. Is this like steerable at all, or does it just launch us into space?
It's a little bit steerable up to a certain amount of space away from the ship, because it's basically a
Maybe it has those.
It has a little bit of piloting.
May I offer?
Yes, please.
What if it has those like those jet streams on it, so you can kind of like and like maneuver its trajectory in the dead of space, but doesn't have like a standard engine or anything?
Correct. Yes, I think that's what I'm going for. It's essentially the same as having a spacesuit, but a spaceship. Mm-hmm. And I think it is an orb sort of design.
Okay. Like a Saiyan pod.
Sure. That's always what I think of.
God, I should have thought this.
Me too.
Should have thought this out a bit more. Is it better to land on the planet and then risk? How far from the nearest planet are we?
You guys, let's see.
Yeah, aren't we like circling main planet?
Are we still like within?
You guys are circling a galaxy, if you recall.
There's we're going like, to, what, four different planets?
There are seven different planets.
So, got my it. God.
Oh, so there are eight. Sorry. So what? There are eight. Babrick was the first planet. You pass Scythe, Syracuse, and Mace, and you're in the asteroid belt between Mace and Vision.
Which of those is the least populated?
Vision.
Okay. Is it also like breathable atmosphere?
It's breathable atmosphere.
Okay.
It's definitely like a super icy planet, so it's like cold and unforgiving. But it does have breathable air.
Okay. Then I'm probably gonna, if I can, like get a direct line to these guys, just be like, pick us up on Vision when you've won the race, and then just gonna launch us over there.
Awesome. The escape pod jettisons, and you guys fly off into space. And I think Gamron kind of looks at you and takes off his helmet and is like, "Well, we got a lot of time to talk now."
Yeah. How have you been?
Fine. I've been winning this race for the last 5 years.
Now, listen, I'm
have
sorry.
You not watched it at all?
Yeah, we saw it. It was really impressive. Now, listen,
it doesn't sound like you're impressed.
Hold up. I know you might think that I cost you the race with my shenanigans, but you were going to lose anyway. We got this pilot. He's an ether mutant, you know, like he went through some weird time portal and now he's changed, but he's crazy. Like, you know, you are going to lose anyway. Like, you'll just watch the.
I saw him. Yeah. You guys got in front of me in the asteroid field. Yeah. He's definitely something.
So, you
know. Friend of yours?
Yeah, you could say that. And this way, you know, you have deniability. If you're too embarrassed or whatever, you can just say your ship crashed and they'll assume you were dead.
All right. What happens when people find my ship and they see that it was, you know, attacked or whatever?
Oh, are they gonna...
Probably scorch marked some shit, or didn't you? I mean, I saw you literally burn open my fucking pilot door.
Oh,
my cockpit door.
Look, you're a big name. People will just think someone assassinated you.
Great. Well, that's what I wanted with my weekend.
Well, it's fine. It's honestly, it's fine. I was presumed dead for a while. It's actually kind of liberating. You'll get used to it.
Hmm.
And if you really want to, you
can
go
back. Am I going
to turn
my hair blue and shit like you?
Hey, this is a look, all right?
It's not a bad look. Oh, fine. It's fine. It's maybe not for me.
Anyway, we got some time before we hit Vision. And then he like takes out his like little like wrist pad. And he's like, "You want to watch the rest of the race?"
Yeah, I do.
I never did not expect it going this way.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah, super interesting.
Oh my gosh.
So, we cut back to Scritch in the cockpit sitting next to Jets. You guys are just flying past. I think you passed Vision just as you get that message from Rector about picking him up there. You make a mental note as you just fly by. At this point, some of the other main ships are starting to get a little close to you. You're getting out into, after you pass the asteroid field, you definitely have a lead. But there are ships that like have better engines than you, so in this kind of straightaway, they're able to catch up a bit. As you guys are getting close to Pinnacle, I think go ahead and make me another piloting roll to just kind of keep your lead here.
And then as I'm piloting, I'm going to look over to Jets and be like, "You ever notice how the secret to winning a race is to start by going fast and then to go faster and then to keep being fast and to end fast? It's like really up if you think about it."
I guess so. It is rather simplistic to a fault.
I got 11.
Okay.
All right. He's just like his fucking shoulders back. He's like driving with one hand.
He's driving with like, one hand. Fucking... You got your arm up on like a little like a ledge or something that's almost like a driver's side window.
Yeah.
And I think what happens is Jirai, the K Enterprises ship, the Anten 7, it like comes up on you, and I think that's about to like do some shit. And as you like maybe try to like sabotage you or even take a shot or something, and as you like notice it, and you're like, you know, rear view mirror and your sensors or whatever it is we decide that you have. I think you have rear view mirrors just for the sake of having something to hang your dice on. But that said, you see this thing in your vision.
Our back cam.
Yeah, in your back cam, exactly. And I think you just are able to sort of maneuver like your butt just right in front of it and kind of like hip check this ship. just ever so slightly, so that he kind of like spins out and shoots his shot like sideways, and I think it like flies off. Maybe even it hits. Make a fortune roll. Let's see if it hits anyone important.
I got a one.
Okay, it just flies off harmlessly into space, but it does look like that you spun him out just enough to like keep your lead there. The race is going pretty well for you guys, and you almost feel like it's too easy. When finally you get to Badger, the next planet, and as you are passing Badger, suddenly you see on your radar a fleet of ships. It looks like five small like flying ships that just fly out of atmosphere from Badger towards you guys. Maybe same path, but maybe you're not sure. Do you? What do you do, Scritch? Do you just keep on course? Just keep trucking?
Hold on. So these are ships that are not part of the race?
Maybe, maybe not. It does. You didn't see them at the beginning of the race. If they're racing, they are cheating. Maybe these are, you know, make a notice roll. See what you can tell about them as they sort of like just pop up on your radar, I think.
I got a two.
Okay. And you, I think.
Oh,
you
wait. Look, should I just use a Benny? I mean,
you can.
Yeah, we're almost done with this race. Fuck it. That's a good boy. That's a good boy. That is 17.
17. Scritch, you see these blips pop up. A little flying V of five ships. So David kind of goes,
Scritch, it appears as though these ships are on our tail.
And then it kind of like brings up an image. And you notice, Scritch, with your cat-like memory, these five ships were the five ships directly behind you at the starting line. There's no way they could have gotten in front of you. Absolutely no way. From what you think of seeing these ships again, these are either duplicates designed to help these guys cheat and win, or this is another group impersonating that group.
Okay. I'm just going to keep winning.
Okay. Yeah?
Yeah.
You just keep flying?
Fuck it, yeah. Okay. I'm going to kick their ass. We still haven't busted the NOS yet, have we?
You haven't yet.
No. So you burn that thing.
You have a slight edge on these guys as they start to kind of like fly into your wake, and suddenly the five, you hear just an alarm go off, and David goes,
Scritch, we're being locked on.
And after an instant, the red lights keep flashing, and they go,
they are firing currently.
And then suddenly, you see on the radar, like all five ships launch missiles. You definitely have anti-missile stuff that you could try to shoot out. What it's gonna do is, if you want to like release the pellets, sort of situation is, I'm gonna have you roll a d6, and then as many as you get is as many as you'll block of these five.
Okay. Can I Benny this?
Are you sure?
Oh, okay, three.
Three. Okay, so you release the pellets, and three of these missiles just explode before they're able to get to you. But three of them fly through the smoke and like hit the back end of your ship. Go ahead.
Gah!
Go ahead and roll me 2d6 and add the result together.
8.
The red light flashes again, and David goes,
we have a hull breach. There is a breach in the cargo area.
Fucking no! Wait, we don't have any cargo.
No, you don't, but you have a breach in your ship.
Hinta is on the ship. I will help take care of that.
Thanks, Hinta, darling.
No, what?
This is fucking irritating. Can I radio these five assholes?
Yeah, you can definitely try to bring them up.
Beep, 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 beep. I'm just like, keep hitting the hail button.
Yeah.
If I can get those assholes on the line.
All right, you do. You get them on the line. And they you hear nothing.
Hello, this is Scritch. I'm the guy whose dust you're currently eating and shooting at. You're not supposed to be shooting at us. Why are you doing that?
And you just hear this voice that comes on that goes,
oh, well, I thought I'd collect the bounty on you.
Okay, sorry. I'm all out of it. There's a bounty on me?
Looks like.
And he kind of like,
on the Millennium Star Destroyer.
And you watch as this little bounty pops up, and it's not for the Millennium Star Destroyer. It's for the cruise control. But these guys go,
oh, that's you, isn't it?
Oh, no, you've got us confused. I've heard that the pilot of the cruise control is a dog named Scratch, and I could see where the confusion comes in. I totally get it. We're the Millennium Star Destroyer. My name is Scritch the Cat. Whoa, big difference in the geology there.
Long silence on the other end. Make me a persuasion roll.
Ah, perfect. All right.
Scratch the dog is very good.
No! I'm using it. Well, I'm going to use
last
a Benny.
Benny?
Yeah,
oh,
I'm using
shit.
My last Benny. This is all real. Now 10. I got a 10.
Okay. And you hear that come on, and they go,
oh, Scratch the dog. Okay. No, it's easy confusion to make. Sorry about that, friend. Good luck on the rest of your race.
Somewhere in the galaxy is a dog named Scratch whose day just got a lot worse.
Oh, he's going to get straight fucked now.
And these five ships, veer off from you and just start to like head towards the race for one reason or another. They decided the million creds is or the 2 million creds is worth more than the bounty on you, I guess, or the non-existent bounty.
Fucking
now.
Fucking idiots.
Okay, so you're nearing the end of the race. You pass Badger finally. Your hull has a bit of damage. You're going to be taking a -2 to piloting rolls right now because it's kind of dragging on the ship just a little bit.
Mm. Can I go heal that now?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. So in the meanwhile, while Scritch was masterfully deflecting to a poor helpless dog somewhere in this universe, Henta, did you throw on a suit? What are you doing? Talk to me.
I mean, Henta's in the ship, so he just goes to the area. Henta doesn't really do suits.
He doesn't need a breathing apparatus of any kind?
No.
Okay, yeah. So you just, you're an ether creature, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, so you kind of like float out there into the now zero gravity cargo area, and there's just a large sort of like lightning shaped gash in the starboard wall.
Okay.
Of the ship.
I imagine that Henta would use either transmute or repair. It's the same for me, but I'll let you decide which one that is.
Let's do transmute.
Okay.
Transmute.
Transmute. It's a 5.
Okay. With a 5, you're able to kind of like patch this up, and there's like a long moment as you're doing it where the zero gravity remains, and as you do, David goes,
Henta, thank you so much. Are you ready for repressurization?
Yes, please.
Repressurizing in 3, 2, 1.
And suddenly you kind of like fall down on, not fall, but like gracefully float from floating to standing on the ship. Or do you float in general?
No.
Okay, right. Sometimes I think of you as just sort of an ephemeral, like,
I can see
little
that.
Ghost creature.
Yeah.
So yeah, you land on the ship softly, your tentacles feeling cold steel once again, and you think you and Scritch are at least out of dodge for now, for the moment.
Thanks, Henta.
Never stops you for long.
Darling.
Yeah. Test run in that one.
So you guys are coming
up. We've been in this race for a while now.
Yeah. Go ahead and roll me a D4. This is how much time it's taken you.
4 fucking hours.
So it's taking you 4 hours. Record. You're not making any records, but you've definitely at least like taken out one of the record holders. So you know, like you're in good company here. You're nearing the end. You're passing Lifebringer, one of the last planets. You see Ark Royal in the distance, where the finish line is, where much of the crowd who was there planet side on Babrick has now flown over to in order to kind of like see the ending of the race. You get close to Lifebringer, and I think you so you're going to activate your Nas as you kind of like pass the dark side of Lifebringer. Make me a piloting roll, and it's going to be a +4. And you fix the thing, so no more minuses.
9.
Okay. You punch it, and you watch as the Cracker Jack and the Road Soda, two of the ships from other companies that are just real close, right behind you, just fall away as you just hit this sort of like intense burst of speed. And you guys fly out, and I think you are almost to Ark Royal when...
Motherfucker.
When you suddenly...
For the audience, his grin that he grew on his face is so so malicious.
When suddenly you see it on the horizon, kind of in the shadow of Ark Royal, the planet itself, this sort of large shape. And at first, it's just dark. It's completely in silhouette. And then as it sort of rises past planet... You see that it is a enormous, almost rectangular object with many different levels on it. It looks like a ship of some kind, but it is enormous, almost planet-sized, it seems. And this ship sort of like, it kind of hangs there in the air. Rector, you see this on your little device as you're watching this with Gamron. And Gamron gasps and goes, fuck, he's here. And you recognize your father's ship.
Is he in the race?
No.
Oh, okay.
Definitely not. He would never stoop so low. But for one reason or another, he has deemed it important enough to physically be here for something. Mm. And you know that doesn't bode well for anyone. Mm. As you see that, you fly into the...
atmosphere!
Thank you! You fly Spice. Through the atmosphere of Ark Royal, and suddenly you are greeted with the enormous, deafening sound of cheers as just the entire planet seems to explode in cheers and applause at this brand new pilot they've never seen before. An underdog who nearly started at the back of the pack.
Undercat,
who just made their way to the front. Almost breaking a record, but not quite. Giving the record a run for its money, certainly. like 4 hours, 10 minutes, something like that. So in any case, David comes on the, like, mic. Not your David, but the announcer David. And he goes,
"It looks like our winner... Oh, that's right, the Millennium Star Destroyer, out in front, followed by the Cracker Jack, the Void Ray, the Road Soda, the AN-10-7, and what's this? The Aether Spark is nowhere to be seen. It looks as though, oh, what's this? We have footage of it floating derelict in the asteroid field. Well, what could have caused such a thing? Drama today at the Great Space Race. Congratulations to our winner, Captain Henta.
I fucking forgot about that.
He and his small crew was able to pull out a new victory today. Everyone will remember..."
And he, like, reads it.
"Henta the Possessor.
I'm gonna
winner
die.
Of the 13th annual Great Space Race."
I'm gonna fucking die. That was my character arc.
Yep.
Now Henta
comes over the loudspeaker and is like, "I now possess the victory." Yes.
Fuck, that was good too.
And people explode into cheer. And that's where we're gonna end for
now. Oh, yay.
With Raptor floating towards this ice planet and Henta stealing the glory.
Yeah.
Awesome, guys. Great session. Let's do some EXP right quick. Okay, so the group accomplished little or had a short sesh, more successes than failures, or succeeded greatly, and their adventure had a significant impact on the overall story.
Greatly!
Yeah. 3 points, y'all!
Her!
Boop, boop! And that's been us. Thank you for listening to Ride or Dice. If you're interested in this podcast and want to follow us on Twitter, please do. It's at Ride or Dice Pod. And I am Andrew Mena. You can find me on Twitter at Andrew Mena or on Instagram at TheAndrewMena. Follow me and we'll be internet friends. It'll be great. To my right, as always, Tari J. Miller.
Hi, guys. I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Tari J. That's TauriJay. You can also find me on the Missing Out podcast on iTunes, Google Play Store, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
I'm Connor Fitzgerald, and you can find me on Instagram at Token Studios with 2 Ks, and I don't do anything else with my life.
This has been Lewis Young. You can find me on Twitter at LWSYOUNG.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Big Lou.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.